What is cracking, Hope Nation? It's your friendly neighborhood Kevin Hines. Welcome to yet another episode of the Hindsights podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, family, colleagues, and friends, we're in for a treat today. Today is going to be a great day. Why do you ask? Because of our incredible Hindsights podcast guest, the one, the only, the phenomenal Greg Grogan of the Overwatch Collective. Greg was born and raised in the Bay Area. He joined the United States Marine Corps at the age of 18 and became a police officer in the Bay Area at the age of 21. He's been in the United States military for 11 years and has been a police officer for 9 years. Throughout both careers, Greg has unfortunately lost friends to suicide, which is far too common for the military and first responder community. To shift the tide, Greg co-founded the Overwatch Collective, a 501c3, or TOC as it's called, nonprofit organization and a podcast with one mission: to reduce the number of suicides and normalize the mental health conversation. And to find TOC fills its gaps in the community as they've contracted and embedded culturally competent therapists. They maintain complete confidentiality and they offer financial assistance to attend therapy sessions. Working for TOC and making a positive impact is Greg's incredible and phenomenal new passion. He gives back wherever he can with his organization, and he joins us here today to share his powerful story and the journey of the Overwatch Collective. Greg, welcome to the show.
Kevin, thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be a guest on the show and to be able to speak with you.
Well, the honor is all mine, my friend. There's no doubt about it. Greg, before we get into your story and the story of the Overwatch Collective, can you bring us back to the beginning? Where did your life begin? Where were you born and raised, and what was your early childhood like?
Yeah, so I was born and raised in Millbrae, California, which is about 15 minutes south of San Francisco. And I was born into a big first responder and military family. Mom and dad, who are still together. Dad served 23 years in the United States military with multiple deployments overseas, in addition to still being an active law enforcement officer for, he's hitting 43 years now in the service, which is incredible. And mother worked with special needs children and was fortunate enough to retire after doing that for 15 years. And my brother's a current fire captain down in Southern California. So a wow. Big family of public service and being a police officer in military, and then my brother becomes a firefighter, which we like to call the heroes because everybody loves the firefighters. So
everybody does love the firefighters, but everybody loves a good Marine too. So thank you for your service and thank you for your family's service, truly. What led you to become a Marine? Can I ask you that?
Yeah. So
besides the family connection, what led you to just make that decision?
Yeah. Call of Duty. Not just Call of Duty. my dad, like I mentioned, his military service, he was in the United States Coast Guard where he started out, and then he joined the United States Army. And I had several family friends join the armed forces. And growing up, I knew I was going to be in the military. I just didn't know what branch. And then like most Marines, it was like, hey, I want to be the boots on the ground. So I joined the infantry and the Marine Corps to be essentially doing what you think of the military is, where you're actually fighting for the freedom of our great nation. So that was the ultimate goal. And then joined at the early age of 18.
Incredible. And I always make it clear in all of my presentations to our military, we are the land of the free because of the brave, because of you. And I want to make that point today. So thank you to you and your family once again. What were some of your assignments in the military and the police industry?
Yeah, so I'm still an active member of the United States military. I'm currently in the United States Coast Guard. And, I served 7.5 years in the Marine Corps in the reserve aspect because I became a police officer at 21. And I was in an infantry unit and I got out as a squad leader. So I had 11 members under my supervision. And I did one deployment overseas to Japan where we worked with the Japanese Defense Force on a unit deployment program. where we did several trainings from mountain training exercises in the freezing weather to helicopter work and setting up landing zones and extracting out of an area of operations with the Japanese Defense Force. And then we were on standby for kind of whatever was occurring with our country at that time and our military. Thankfully, nothing ever popped off. So we weren't really needed, but we were there in a reserve aspect. And then with the police department side of things, I've done a lot in the 9 years. So I'm a part of the special weapons and tactics teams. I'm a firearms instructor. I'm a part of the drone team. I've been a motorcycle officer for the past 7 years. And currently assigned to patrol.
Incredible. You've had all these roles in the military and in the police. And in those roles, you've lost people you care about to suicide. Tell us about Ben Reiney and his unexpected death by suicide and how that affected you and what that did to your family.
Yeah, that was the first suicide that really affected me. And I saw the great impact it had on the police department and then also several other agencies and all of our friends and family. So Ben, we got hired around the same time and working at the same department. We were on the same weekend graveyard shift. We just attended Urban Shield, which was for all SWAT teams in the Bay Area, where we'd go around to several different locations through an overnight and daytime period and conduct training exercises to prepare us for real life situations. We did that together and he was just such a good guy. And I know this is one of the common themes when we hear about people who die by suicide, where he was truly the last person that I ever would have expected to die by suicide. He was always happy, always had a smile on his face. He was married to his beautiful wife. Everything seemed to be going well. He was financially stable, not like some of the other police officers that were having to work overtime or stressed because they were going through a divorce and had to pay child support. He kind of had everything. And around St. Patty's Day, I was actually in the East Coast marching in the parade, and I woke up to a text message saying, hey, Ben killed himself, unfortunately. And like most, it was completely out of the blue. It was a shock. Never saw any of the signs. And that was it. And then I had to come home and attend the funeral, unfortunately.
How did that affect your mental state?
It was tough. And I will say back then, I did not understand mental health and the challenges that not only first responders go through, but everybody as a human being. And like, as I do now with doing this whole nonprofit for the past 3 years, having conversations around mental health, mental wellness, and talking to people who've attempted suicide, talking to survivors of suicide. Back then I was kind of like your normal person where it was like, the conversation around mental health and suicide was like taboo. Nobody wanted to talk about it because it's like you're walking on eggshells. So I thought it was shitty. And like most, after attending the funeral, after a few weeks, like, yes, his memorial was still at the police department, but you kind of moved on a little bit, sad as that is to say.
And just to kind of bring it full circle, how do you see mental health and suicide now?
Now I see it as everybody goes through mental health challenges. Everybody, no matter if you have all the money in the world, you have everything that you ever wanted in life, there are still going to be challenges and we still need to be proactive when we work on ourselves as human beings. At the Overwatch Collective, we do focus primarily on first responders, service members, and their families. But also I've had friends die by suicide that are not in the first responder and military community. And I don't really know what's being done that is actually helping this, like our community as a whole, you know?
Fair enough. I can relate to that. You know, we've spent the last 70 years in suicide prevention work as the suicide prevention community as a whole. And we haven't reduced suicides at large. And it's really frustrating to sit and watch organizations and groups compete against each other for funding instead of bolstering each other up when someone needs help and saying, this one's working, let's all help this one. I understand healthy competition is important, but I think that we've lost track of the true goal at hand, which is stopping suicides in their tracks and getting to zero suicide. I think there's a lot of great movements going on. I can't deny that. I think there are a lot of organizations coming together in the last, I would say, 10 years. But I think we've got a long way to go. And I think we need to recognize that maybe some more new and novel ideas of reducing suicide need to be taken into account. And maybe some younger minds need to come into the fray and change the game, because what we are doing is not working. Greg, can you share a little bit about the as they call it, the stigma in the culture amongst the military and first responder community against those who struggle with mental health and suicidal ideation?
Yeah, of course. And going back to what you just stated, I think it's what we're doing right now is what's helping the stigma and the culture and reducing the numbers of suicide. And obviously with your story, Kevin, and you doing a podcast now and bringing all of these resources on and sharing your story and going and presenting all over the country, like that alone is amazing. And I'm sure people have heard your story and they have not died by suicide by their own hands because of you coming out and speaking. So I just want to say that, it's truly powerful and amazing what you're doing. So I appreciate you. And as far as the stigma for the first responder and military community and the culture, I was brought into the culture, the department, the military. And I know if you're listening to this podcast and you're a first responder service member, you know people in this community, it is kind of the suck it up buttercup. This is what you signed up for. This is a part of the job. You don't need to get help. Like if you go to get help, you look like a bitch or you look weak, because this is what you signed up for, essentially. And that's kind of the culture amongst the community. Yes, it is getting better. There are organizations and people that are going around the country talking to try to normalize mental health and ensure that we have a good system set in place for our community. But we're still seeing more suicides than officers being killed in the line of duty, for example, whether it's happening off duty or on duty, because the difference there is if you die by suicide on duty, your family still gets benefits. Whereas if you die off duty, your family does not get the same benefits, which is part of the selflessness of our community. But also dying by suicide, you want to ensure that your family is well taken care of. In the first responder side, the stigma is, oh my Lord, if you say, hey, this call for service, I went to this fatality traffic collision, for example, and this family of four that I saw and had to take photographs of, this really truly affected me and I need to go get some help. That does not happen. There's so much that goes on behind the scenes and the shit talking and did you hear that Greg went and got help? Oh, he's on the sergeant's list, so we're not going to promote him. Or if you go through your peer support team through a first responder agency and they break that confidentiality one time and the entire department finds out that you're going through a tough time, your fellow coworkers may not trust you anymore. They may tiptoe around you because we don't know as a community how to deal with this, how to work with someone. And how to talk to people that are going through mental health challenges. And it's a shame. It really is, because it's costing us the lives of so many amazing people, like my friend Ben, and not even first responders in military, like you, doing the act of attempting to die by suicide and jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge. Like the numbers of suicide are so drastic and increasing day by day. Like, if this was an actual like national crisis, there would be more policies, procedures set in place, in my opinion. So as far as the community goes, we really do not see many people reach out for help, raise their hand and say, hey, you know what? I'm going through a tough time. I need to talk to someone. And that's where we come into play. That's why we started the Overwatch Collective.
Incredible. I think it's analogous to the idea of like how American government spends more money on smallpox, which kills maybe one person every 50 years. They spend 10 times the money on smallpox than they do on suicide prevention. It should be a national political crisis that crosses all political boundaries and is a nonpartisan issue or bipartisan issue. It should be a crisis that we endeavor to take care of and solve because we're losing so many around the world. And it should be something we take more seriously in our government today. I do believe that. What resources are currently in place that you're aware of for the military and first responders? And what do you think the pros and cons are of those resources? We talked briefly about it, but I want you to dive in if you can.
Yeah, so I'll start with the military side of things. Obviously, the VA, everybody knows the VA for military, but with the VA comes the stigma as well. And it's like that connotation where the VA is so understaffed and they're short on personnel where they cannot help every single United States service men and women that are trying to get resources. It's just a numbers game. I know a lot of people that work for the VA and they do mean well, and they want to be able to help our community. But there's not enough personnel, not enough money, and not enough resources there. And sometimes you'll have a service member reach out to the VA and say, "Hey, you know what? These suicidal ideations are popping up more. I'm having nightmares. I'm having intrusive thoughts. I'm thinking about harming myself. I have a plan attached to these suicidal ideations." And sometimes their response can be, "Hey, the next appointment we have for you is in 1 month at the Palo Alto VA. How's that sound for you?" And like, Kevin, what do you think about that? What if you were like, "Hey, I need to talk to someone." They're like, "Oh, 1 month away, Kevin, at April 1st, 9:30 a.m.
Yeah.
It's not feasible at all. And this is why we're seeing so many suicides amongst the veteran community, I feel like, and the lack of resources there. There have been situations where service members have gone into VA centers and died by suicide in the lobby just to prove a point, which is horrible. That's kind of it for the military side, other than other nonprofits, organizations that are founded by veterans that want to help.
Yeah.
That's kind of it for the veteran side. And then the first responder side, there are peer support teams that have become more common amongst the first responder community. And that's comprised of members within the agency who show a passion for mental health and wanting to take care of their community, but it's also working with your peers. You could be on the same shift as a dispatcher, and the lady or gentleman next to you could be on the peer support team, but do you really want to go to that person because of that stigma and culture that we talked about? And then obviously the confidentiality and the trust is one of the biggest things I would say for our community as a whole, as a first responder and service member, because if you do say any suicidal ideations or have a plan attached to it and you get placed on a psychiatric hold, they may be taking your firearm from you. They may be putting you on administrative leave. And that's, you don't want anybody to know what's going on with you because it's so taboo. Suicide, mental health is like walking on eggshells. Nobody wants to talk about it.
If we don't broaden the idea that we need to open up the floodgates to allow people to talk about it without recourse, without, it's almost like we're biting off the tail to spite the face. You know, it's like we're not addressing the fact that everyone fears asking for help because it will label them. And then we're not addressing the fact that when they do ask for help, it labels them. And then when they get the help, they come back out to their team and their team looks at them differently. So it is a whole culture shift that needs to occur military-wide, law enforcement-wide, to say, look, if your brain's not well, you can't function on this team and you can't do the job you need to do. And so, often I hear in the military where I go, unit first, person second. But if we don't start putting the person first, how can they be a good member of the unit?
100%.
I think we need to, I think that's a piece that needs to be addressed. And I think that one of the things I found in my research some years ago was that when they brought transcendental meditation to Air Force bases, Air Force wide, and it was mandated on that base that every civilian, every officer, everyone on the higher up did transcendental meditation every day, twice a day. That suicide rates in that base reduced by, I believe, 60%. They violent acts reduced an incredible percentage. Drug and alcohol use reduced an incredible percentage. And then new command came in the next year and said, this is a bunch of nonsense. Do away with it. Guess what went right back up?
The numbers.
We forgot that there was a part of a solution that was working for a period of time in very particular bases, and it was making a huge impact, and we let it fly. We released it. And because of somebody's ego, because I'm too good for this. It doesn't work for me. It's bullshit. This is all hoopla. It's a cult, whatever. Look, we know it worked. We saw the numbers reduce and we ignored it. I think that's something, it's not the overall end all be all answer, but it's going to have a tremendous effect if we implement it Pentagon DOD wide across the entire military and across law enforcement. We know that when you put transcendental meditation into high schools, violent acts go down, bullying goes down, alcohol use goes down. It has a tremendous effect because people bring their own bodies and minds to a calm and a safe space, and they realize that whatever they're going through, they can defeat it through the power of routine and regimen that wins. So I think we need to look back at that and start considering that as a new plot to change perspective. Greg, I want to know, this is really important because I want you to get your message out. How did the Overwatch Collective start? What is the mission?
Yeah, so my buddy Jesse and I started the Overwatch Collective back in June of 2021. And the idea was to just start as a podcast discussing exactly what we're talking about. Where are the gaps of mental health that we're seeing? Where are areas for improvement? Why are we seeing these numbers of suicide? What's the stigma like? What's the culture? And then let's try to find people like yourself, Kevin, who have gone through struggles in their life that are willing to talk about it with the ultimate goal of normalizing this shit, talking and saying, hey, it's okay not to be okay. Like, this is life. Life is difficult, but you have to take care of yourself to take care of others, just like what you said. And if you die by suicide, you are going to be leaving behind so many people with so many questions, and they're going to be hurting, and they're not going to be better off because you're not here anymore, which is one of the common themes that we see.
Suicide doesn't take the pain away. It just makes it impossible for things to ever get better.
Yep. Couldn't agree. Could not agree. So that was kind of the start of it. And we had about 15 to 20 people on within the first responder and military community on. We had service members who've talked about attempting suicide. We had daughters of United States Marines who died by suicide. Dispatchers who talked about taking 911 calls for service and the trauma that they see, which is not talked about enough. We started receiving donations, and ultimately we turned it into a 501c3 nonprofit with the intent to create a safe and confidential place for our community to get into therapy sessions with culturally competent therapists that are vetted by us as first responders and service members. So we started off with our first contracted therapist in California. And as of now, we have over 40 states covered with culturally competent therapists that are vetted through us as first responders and service members for our community. in addition to the spouse's significant others and the children. And we have, in my opinion, being a police officer and in the United States military and seeing all the resources out there, created the best process to get anybody in the first responder and military community into therapy sessions while maintaining complete confidentiality. You get connected to a therapist in a matter of 3 to 5 days, and we pay for the first 3 sessions, no matter what the price is, at 100% of the cost.
Oh.
Then we go into a tiered system after that. So it's 60% for the next 5, 50% for the next 5, and so on. And as of now, we've connected 159 people to our therapists. We've either fully covered or financially assisted 1,118 therapy sessions. And then to date, as of yesterday, we have spent a total of $120,801.50 on therapy costs. So it is truly remarkable to see people in the first responder and military community submit a financial assistance request and therapy request through the Overwatch Collective, where they have to fill out a 1 to 2 paragraph little bio about themselves, what they're going through, and why they're seeking therapy through us. And they literally say everything we talked about. Hey, I cannot go to the VA. I cannot go through my peer support. I've heard this is completely confidential, and I've heard success through the Overwatch Collective. This is what I'm going through. This is what my financial situation is. We send that person out a waiver the next day. He or she prints it out, signs it, gives it back to us, and then they're off to the therapist that they chose. And we don't need to hear from that person anymore. We work directly with the therapist from there on out.
Absolutely incredible work you're doing. And I hope this spreads your message far and wide. Can you talk a bit briefly about the Overwatch Collective app?
Yeah, so as I mentioned before, we talk about the lack of resources and the confidentiality within the community. So last year, we created the Overwatch Collective app, which is available for free to download on Apple devices and Androids. The green users that ruin every single group text, we even have it for you. And essentially what it is you create your own profile on the app. And if you're like me, a police officer in the military, you have a blue and green banner around your name, so people know that you're a police officer in the military. Through the app, we have a social media aspect where it's similar to Instagram. We have audio rooms, which are similar to podcasts, but anybody can go on there, share their resources that they have, share their story, and then people can join completely anonymous or as Greg Grogan throughout the whole use of the app. Those audio rooms are similar to podcasts where you can listen to them over and over. You can schedule them to be live or recorded and released at a later date. We have the wellness center. So you have 988. You can contact 988 directly through the app. For our veterans, you have 988 and then 1. And then we also have some of our culturally competent therapists on the app in the wellness center that you can directly message individually. And it's just between you and that therapist. We also have other podcasts that we vet for our community, and we have them added onto the app. So it's truly incredible the resources that we have through the app. We're starting to get advertising space in the app now, where we will be receiving funds through the app. And then in turn, the more money that we get through the app is more therapy sessions that we're able to pay for. So
wow.
If you're able to, if you're listening to this podcast, go to the App Store, download the Overwatch Collective, check it out, and get a feel for it, and then just have it there in the event that in a year from now you're going through a dark time and you're like, oh, I can go to this app and get some free support in an instance.
So you have a board of directors. Tell us about them and their roles.
Yeah, so the board of directors, I'm the president. Hi, you've already met me, introduced me. And then we have our secretary, Kelsey. She is currently in the Fire Academy right now. We have Cheryl, who's our treasurer. She is Jesse's mother. So she knows what it's like to be a mother of a United States Marine who's deployed overseas. We have my mother, Donna, who raised a police officer, service member, a firefighter, and is still married with my dad, who has survived multiple deployments overseas and over 40 years of being a first responder. We have Tyler, who's an active firefighter in the Northern California area. And then we have Cameron, who is our therapy outreach board member. She's also dating a U.S. Air Force service member who is actually currently overseas deployed right now. So our entire board of directors is comprised of individuals that have a direct impact in our first responder and military community and understand the importance of our mission at the Overwatch Collective.
They're living the mission. They are lived experience individuals who are going through it right now or have gone through it, and they're changing lives. Incredible. I want to know, where do you see the Overwatch Collective in the next 2 years?
Yeah, I'd hope to obviously get the message out and be able to conduct more presentations across the country. Lafayette Police Department in Louisiana is paying to have me come out and present to their police department for 2 days in the beginning of March. They're paying for all my finances, everything going out there. And we actually just got invited to Lake Tahoe for another presentation. So throughout the next 2 years, I would love to get the Overwatch Collective in front of an audience, whether it's a first responder, military community, or anybody that is willing to have someone come talk about resources that we have, the stigma, the culture, and mental health in general. Obviously, I'd like to work with other companies, nonprofits, businesses to get sponsorships because we are a nonprofit. And a majority of our funds do come from donations, but there, as you know, in the Bay Area, there is so much money that is out here from all of these companies and businesses where it's like, hey, here's our mission. This is what we provide. Can you please donate $50,000 annually, whatever the case may be? Give them a donor letter with our tax information, our 501c3, and it's a write-off for them. And that $50,000, for example, would save so many lives. So we do have a fundraising team together of four people. Tyler, our board member, is the head of that committee right now. And we also do have our first sponsorship of our own podcast. It's Team Wendy. They make ballistic helmets for first responders, service members. And they're doing a monthly sponsorship. So I would love to see more sponsorships, donations come in, and then ultimately saving more lives. And I want to hear more of these stories that come back and be like, hey, Greg, I went through you guys for therapy. I went through the Overwatch Collective and I got the help I needed. Nobody at my dispatch center found out about it. This is truly amazing. We've gotten so many of those already, and that's the motivation that keeps me going and doing all this work on top of being a full-time police officer and in the military. It's messages like that where I hear, thank you so much. This saved my life. This saved my marriage. My kids will finally speak to me again, where if those issues were not corrected, we may be losing that person to suicide. So, I would love to see more messages like that, more podcasts, doing more podcasts like with people like yourself, Kevin, and ultimately just trying to reach more people in general to just hit one person to be like, hey, you know what? I've talked to so many people. They seem like macho men or all this stuff, and they talked about their struggles. They talked about suicidal ideations. They got help. And now look at them. They're thriving. I can do it too. So that's the ultimate goal at the Overwatch Collective.
Incredible. When is your next event coming up?
So it's actually funny. You're wearing the shirt. Be here tomorrow. So February 19, 2024, we're going to be hosting an event. It's called Be Here Tomorrow in San Mateo, California, which is about 30 minutes south of San Francisco. It's from 8 a.m. to 12 a.m. It's at the Coyote Point Yacht Club. And we got the space donated to us, coffee, food, and there's going to be about 75 people there from our community. And it's just a free mental health training where I'm going to be presenting about the Overwatch Collective, the resources that we have. Gentleman Travis Gribble, he was a police officer for 23 years. After a few terrible calls for service, he's retired. finally got the help that he needed after his suicidal ideations and thoughts. And now he travels the country with his culturally competent therapist. And he talks about the first responder side of things and seeing these fucked up calls that we see, having these suicidal ideations. And then his therapist gives the clinical side of what we go through in our community. They're going to be coming out as well. And then we have two sponsors that are going to be speaking about their resources for our community. And then after that, we're going to go to a local brewing company and have like a social hour where everybody can meet and talk. And then we'll also have a resource table. So there's alternative resources for our community in addition to just us at the Overwatch Collective, because we believe we're not the one-stop fix it all. We want to offer other resources. So that's our next event.
Amazing. How can people donate and sponsor and get involved?
Yeah, so we make it pretty simple. You just type in the Overwatch Collective on Google, Yahoo, whatever. You'll find our website. It's theoverwatchcollective.com. The Instagram is the Overwatch Collective. The app is the Overwatch Collective. Our podcast is available on the app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Google Play. And if you're willing to donate, you can donate through the website. You can also contact us at greg@theoverwatchcollective.com. That'll come directly to me. With each donation, we do provide a donor letter. So you'll get a tax write-off for that next tax season. And your money is going towards therapy for our community. If you cannot donate a monetary value at all, totally get it. Times are tough for a lot of people. I ask you just to give us a follow on Instagram. If you know someone who may be struggling, send them our page, send them our podcast, and then download the Overwatch Collective app. The more downloads that we get and users inside of the app, the more funds that we'll be able to receive. In turn, we can push into therapy.
Okay, Greg, we're going to wrap this up with a bow. I want you to look directly into the camera and talk to that Marine or that veteran or active duty member or officer who is drastically suicidal right now. What do you say to them right here, right now? How do you help them stay here?
I would say if you're actively struggling right now, it is okay. It is normal. What you have experienced and the feelings that you have are completely valid. And we are here to help you at the Overwatch Collective. I promise you, we'll get you the resources that you need. It'll be completely confidential. Your spouse, your significant other, your military unit, your first responder agency will never find out about you seeking help through the Overwatch Collective. We will help you fund whatever therapy sessions you need. And if it's not therapy that you need and you just need to talk to someone, we have plenty of resources for you as well. The last thing that I want is you taking your own life, because I have lost too many friends to suicide and too many people in our community commit that act. And we need you here.
We need you here. Your life is valued. You are worthy. You matter. Suicide is never the solution to your problem. It is the problem. Suicidal ideations are the greatest liars. We know we don't have to listen to them. You don't have to listen to them. Fight to be here. Be here tomorrow and every single day after that. We love you. Thank you very much, Greg Grogan of the Overwatch Collective. Incredible episode. Really appreciate your time. And to everybody watching, listening, viewing, subscribing, share this podcast with a friend in need. See ya.